This is Citizens Council Forum, America's number one public affairs program, where prominent Americans report to the nation on important issues. This week, the series of discussions is presented coast to coast by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation, with the cooperation of public-spirited broadcasters who share our belief that Americans must be informed to remain free. Now, here is the producer of Citizens Council Forum, Dick Morphew.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Citizens Council Forum. We're happy to welcome to the broadcast today Mr. W.J. Simmons of Jackson, Mississippi. Bill Simmons is administrator of the Citizens Councils of America. Bill, it's a real pleasure to have you back with us.
Thank you very much, Dick. It's a pleasure to be back.
Bill, recently the Citizens Councils of America sent a cablegram concerning Rhodesian independence. Would you mind telling our audience something about this, please?
Yes, I'll be glad to, Dick. The cablegram was sent on November 11th, Veterans Day it happened to be, the day after the proclamation of independence by Prime Minister Ian Smith of Rhodesia. I'd like to read the cable, if I may.
Please do.
It reads as follows. We congratulate you and the people of Rhodesia for your forthright and courageous declaration of sovereign independence. Your action in refusing to submit to the chaos of black supremacy prevailing elsewhere in Central Africa should hearten all believers in responsible self-government. We are urging immediate diplomatic recognition by United States government. And the cablegram was signed, the Citizens Councils of America.
Before we get into this any further, let me ask you this. Does this cable mean that the Citizens Councils of America is now going to emulate some of the groups on the far left of the political spectrum in attempting to conduct foreign policy on behalf of the United States?
No, of course not, Dick. It does not mean any such thing. It's simply a public expression of our views.
Why was the cable sent?
The cable was sent because the leaders of the Citizens' Councils had been following the developments in Rhodesia with the approaching crisis for independence, and the unanimous sentiment among them was that some expression of support should be issued. In the first place, we had a great deal of admiration for the white people of Rhodesia who, without any apology and in a very forthright manner, stood up with great determination for what they believed, and also we were very conscious of the real chaos of black supremacy referred to in the cablegram that has prevailed elsewhere in Central Africa, and we felt it was a very healthy development that here was an emerging nation in Africa attended by none of the chaos, the disorder, the violence that had prevailed in the Congo and elsewhere, and we felt that this deserved public support.
We hear every day the commentators discussing the crisis in Rhodesia. We see this in big black headlines, the Rhodesian crisis. Actually, it would seem to me that there was no crisis in Rhodesia up to and including the time of the Declaration of Independence. Would it seem to you that any crisis which has developed has been developed by outside forces since Rhodesia declared her independence?
It certainly would seem so, and all of the facts of record point very clearly to this development. Perhaps some of the reaction to the Rhodesian move for independence might be well to mention, Dick. It's almost unbelievable. There was a pacifist church group in England, for example, that openly demanded a military invasion to replace the white Rhodesian government with a black one. Now, this is a kind of, I personally think it's insanity that seems to be going on in the world today, and I think it ought to be counteracted. I think voices should be raised on the other side.
What do you think the man on the street in the United States feels about this Rhodesian situation? Does he understand it well enough to have any basis for any rational opinion at all?
Well, that's a hard question to answer, but my feeling is, from the observations I've heard on the street, both here and in the South and in the East and the West, which I visited very recently, I really think that the man on the street is firmly behind the Rhodesian move for independence, and I think he fully supports it.
And yet the official foreign policy of our government would seem to be in direct contradiction to this prevailing sentiment.
Yes, it not only seems to be, I think it very frankly is in contradiction to it. And I think this illustrates a very serious point about our present-day affairs, and that is the kind of schizophrenia that prevails between the thoughts of most people and the actions of their governments.
A question occurs to me. Would the official reaction of the United States government perhaps have been different if, rather than the situation developing the way it did in Rhodesia, would our government have reacted differently if the blacks in Rhodesia had staged an uprising and seized control and declared their independence?
The answer to that question is very clearly indicated in the record of recent years, where the United States government did lend very much encouragement and financial aid, foreign aid, to black governments that did so seize power.
How do you account for this apparent anti-white foreign policy by the government of the United States, which after all still is 90% a white nation?
That's one of the great riddles of today. I think it can only be explained in the kind of philosophy that seems to prevail in the liberal establishment, that is not only the government, but in large segments of the press, in large segments of organized religion, in large segments of the educational establishment, that seems to glorify the non-white and to take an apologetic attitude toward all things white. And the fact that the people in control in Rhodesia went counter to this general philosophy, I think, accounts basically for the hostility shown them.
Have there been any objective accounts concerning the Rhodesian situation and its background which you've seen in the national press in recent weeks?
I think there have been some. I'm encouraged, frankly, by some of the reporting on the Rhodesian crisis as distinct from some of the editorializing in major papers. There have been one or two wire service stories, for example, that I think portray the situation very accurately.
In what way?
Well, for example, as an Associated Press story of recent days that compares Rhodesia today to the early days of American independence, to the early days particularly in the southern United States and in the West, the frontier conditions. It goes on to describe how the approximately 250,000 whites in Rhodesia have really built the country, and strangely enough, the beneficiaries of this seem to have been not only themselves, but the 4.5 million Negroes who also inhabit the country. In this connection, during the years of development in Rhodesia, the black population has increased many times over due to heavy immigration from outside, which certainly would indicate that it's an attractive place to live for the natives.
In other words, more economic opportunity for the blacks has caused Africans to move into Rhodesia because of the development of the country by the white interests.
That is correct. And the poverty conditions prevalent in the Congo and other black nations certainly do not prevail in Rhodesia.
The population figures which I have seen show that in 1900 there were only 400,000 black tribesmen in the country which is now Rhodesia. Today, there are around 4,400,000. This would be multiplying by a factor of 11 in just 65 years. To me, at least, this certainly doesn't seem to be indicative of any policy of brutality or repression on the part of the whites of Rhodesia.
Certainly, that is a very reasonable conclusion to draw.
We hear a lot of talk about economic sanctions being applied against Rhodesia, both by Britain and by the United States. If these sanctions should be applied, first, do you think they could do any good? Do you think they would help in bringing Rhodesia to her knees, that is? And second, who would be hurt most by any effective sanctions?
Dick, most expressions I've seen by qualified observers certainly seem to indicate that Rhodesia would not be brought to her knees. She is largely self-sufficient. She raises an ample supply of food. She has minerals. She's very rich. She has electric power. And in fact, the economy of Zambia, her black neighbor to the north, is totally dependent on Rhodesian electric power. Certainly there seems no serious thought that Rhodesia could be seriously crippled even by economic sanctions. There could be economic repercussions in the country, of course, if some of the export markets were denied, and obviously the first ones to suffer in such an eventuality would be the laborers, that is, the native blacks. This, of course, illustrates an irony of some of the present liberal policy in that it seems they don't hesitate to injure the people they ostensibly would help.
The Associated Press story to which you referred stated that in addition to the blacks in Rhodesia, there are more than 200,000 Africans from the country of Malawi who are working in the fields and industries of Rhodesia at the present time and who couldn't survive without these jobs which they hold.
Yes, that's a very trenchant point in support of the thesis that we've been discussing.
Does this seem to you to be all a part, this campaign to try to promote world opinion against Rhodesia? Is it all part of the one man, one vote fallacy?
It certainly would seem so, yes. And it does, furthermore, it seems of a part with the so-called blueprint that came to light not long ago by one of the so-called foundations working for peace, outlining military operations on a massive scale against South Africa, even to the point of estimating casualties on the initial invasion.
Bill, in conclusion, our time is going by very rapidly. What would you like to see as the policy of the United States government towards Rhodesia today and towards other nations in similar situations?
Seems to me a policy of fairness would be one that ought to apply. And it's difficult to believe that such a policy doesn't automatically apply. Certainly this policy, a very friendly one, has been extended to the black nations emerging in Africa, and to reverse that is to practice racism in reverse as far as Rhodesia is concerned.
Bill, thank you very much for being with us today. Our guest on today's edition of Citizens Council Forum has been W.J. Simmons, Administrator of the Citizens Councils of America. Join us again next week at the same time when we'll be back with another program in your Citizens Council Forum series. Till then, Dick Morphew speaking coast to coast, saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
Citizens Council Forum is dedicated to the preservation of our American tradition of freedom. If you agree that individual liberty and constitutional government must be preserved, if you want to do something positive and worthwhile to help protect our freedom, then we want to hear from you. Just write to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We'll be happy to send you, without obligation, literature showing how you can help. Address your card or letter to Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. America's number one public affairs series is presented coast to coast each week by Citizens Council Forum, a nonprofit educational corporation. Join us next week for another informative discussion and remind your friends to tune in. It's time to take a stand. By working together, we can and will safeguard our freedoms.